in the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking that we could pull, I don't know, Hall of Famer. But with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now, introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. There is nothing more fun than opening an Arena Club Slab Pack. I mean, it is so much better than any mystery pack that I've ever purchased because there is a focus on transparency. There is a display of available cards. There are hit rates you can get. When you're graded, you're given a rationale. It is the marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, and displaying. Arena Club Slab Packs are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling. You can have them officially graded by Arena Club. The Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with a full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. Whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have to check out. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/badmoney. Wow, that's a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack, that's $40 right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/badmoney for 10% off your first purchase.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
You got problems that you ought to be concerned with. Moolah! You don't know how you're supposed to earn it, or what to do with it, or how to keep it. You're a freak with a dark, shameful secret. But you're not the only one. Get your hidden financial fears with a blast of sun. Now your healing has begun. It's Bad with Money with Gabe S. Dunn.
Hello and welcome to Bad with Money, a show about finances and feelings where we don't talk down to you. I'm Gabe S. Dunn. I'm your host. Hello, hello. If you want to write into the show, you can do so at gabeisbadwithmoney@gmail.com. Also leave me a voice memo, which we'll hear one today. Pretty exciting. Also, you can follow me at Gabe S. Dunn on Instagram and at BWM Pod on Instagram. Thank you so much for all the stuff you guys have been writing in. I'm really excited. We have a lot of emails, so I'm trying to space them out to make sure that we get like full mailbag episodes, but also, you know, you guys have time to write in and hopefully your emails don't get kicked down the curb, but please write in because I love hearing from you guys. And even if you think it's like a silly thing to write in about, or, you know, a silly question, whatever it is, like, please do it. I really love hearing from you guys. I especially love voice memos. So this is an email from Germany. Again, this is our second email in 2 weeks from Germany. Hey, Gabe. First things first, love the show. I always listen to it while doing my skincare or getting ready in the morning. So thanks for the company so I do not have to hear my own thoughts. Truly, this is why I listen to podcasts. 100% hear you on this. Okay. Please make this anonymous, pronoun she, her. I am from Germany and I work as a product designer. So I design apps and services around those products for tech companies. In this industry, it is super common to get a take-home test or challenge with job interviews. Often there is a first interview with HR, and then before actually talking to the hiring team, you get some tasks to work on, which is stupid and shows how self-centered these companies are. Dude, you need to convince me too. After one HR interview, I am not motivated to spend my free time working on some challenge before I even meet the potential team and learn more about the job. I find it hugely stressful to do this shit while working full time. I'm a sensitive gal. I need my downtime. Leave me alone. I dropped out of hiring processes for this reason. One company wanted me to design a user interface for a fictional coffee machine, for example. I made one Google slide and then decided fuck no and took another job offer. For a fictional coffee machine? Jesus Christ. Usually those challenges are also time boxed. They will tell you, do not spend more than 8 hours on it. We do not want to stress you. And then she made like a bunch of sarcastic smiley faces. But of course you want to do well, and it feels shitty to present something half-baked. So usually people will invest much more time. Luckily, companies at least start to shift to those fictional products that have nothing to do with their own product, because there is more and more consensus that it is unethical to ask candidates for free labor, essentially. And I am lucky enough that the market is on my side at the moment, and I can afford to drop out of such hiring processes and go for other companies. When I was a student, I had to participate in the nightmare of a quote-unquote experience day. The idea is that you work there for a day on some challenge and present it at the end of the day, and you get to experience the company and they get to experience you. For an unpaid internship, I found it overkill to spend a day there. Also, the challenge I worked on was exactly related to their product and current projects. But at the time, I did not have the choice, so I did it, and I am glad I did it because this internship really helped me in my career. But I'm still a bit sour about that experience day. Years later, they wanted to hire me full-time and asked me again to come in for an experience day again. And again, I declined. I did not want the job bad enough to go for that. Auf Wiedersehen. When I interviewed for my current job, I did not have to do some fictional project. I had to do a live-in challenge where they presented me with a product, booking.com, and I had to critique the interface and think about aspects of it that I would change and why. It felt super stressful, but I hugely preferred this to spending time on a design challenge. Now, when we discuss the hiring process for new people, I advocate for finding other ways to assess them than the design challenges, aka homework, because I know we will lose good candidates and it sucks for everyone involved. Unfortunately, the rest of the team has a different opinion and we still give out design challenges. I understand that you want to see the skills of a person applied. As a designer, you always have to present your portfolio with case studies of previous projects. This is also a huge workload to create those case studies. And it is often hard to tell what part of the project was really done by the person because such projects are always a team effort. But still, by discussing those case studies, getting references from previous employers, etc., I find you get enough information about a person without burdening them with homework. All the best and many greetings from Germany. And then something in German that I have no idea what it says. Liebe Grube, which I think means heart. Heart something? Heart you? I'm going to look it up. Best regards. Okay. Well, I was wrong. But Liebe does mean heart, doesn't it? Anyway. Wow. Thanks for writing in. Germany really taking over here. I think just by getting past employer recs and also asking them about what they worked on is probably good enough. But I don't know. We should have my boyfriend on to talk about this maybe if he wants to, because he had a different opinion and he wrote it actually in the Discord. He wrote his opinion because he's a member of the Discord, which he joined after we started dating. So I'll ask him if I can read it maybe on the show. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a new candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. It would be so much easier if I was looking for someone to help me with sweetening audio, or let's say someone to run my merch shop, or all the little things that go into running a podcast. Usually something like that would be so slow and overwhelming. And honestly, I wish I had used Indeed, and I will use Indeed in the future. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Just go to Indeed.com/badwithmoney right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything is more expensive these days when you're running a business, and you would be wise to find proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time. The fact that you are able to reduce your IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud is incredible. And the ability to access your cloud financial system from anywhere saves you so much time and stress. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/badwithmoney. 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 Managing my finances is incredibly stressful and time-consuming. I'm sure you guys know. You've been with me on this journey. You know how many finance apps I've tried. You know how much they haven't worked for me. And I'm always on the hunt for a finance app that fits my life. And then I tried Monarch. It is so easy to use with powerful features, collaboration tools, intuitive design, personalization, constant product improvements. I really value an app that allows me to do all of this without confusion. And especially important to me is intuitive design and the ability to personalize, because clearly finance is not one size fits all. Did you know that money issues are a leading cause of divorce? Monarch, the top-rated personal finance app, also has built-in collaboration features so you can invite your partner at no extra cost. Together, you can see all your finances, collaborate on your budget, and get insights on your cash flow and recurring transactions. It's the easiest way to manage your household finances. Are you saving for a down payment, a wedding, a dream vacation? Monarch makes it so easy to help you reach your financial goals. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Have you been frustrated with personal finance apps that are cluttered with ads, difficult to use, rarely updated? So was Monarch. They built a new kind of personal finance app that's intuitive and powerful and ad-free and constantly improving based on customer feedback. Experience a personal finance app that prioritizes the user experience above all else. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/badmoney. Unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it so easy to set up, customize, and use. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. Change the layout of your dashboard, toggle between light and dark mode, create custom budgets and notifications, set up automatic rules for transactions and notifications, and more. Plus, there's ad-free privacy you can trust. We will never sell your data to third parties or show you ads. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/badmoney. That's monarchmoney.com/badmoney for your extended 30-day free trial. Okay, this is an email from Frank's friend Keo. If you remember, Frank is the person who wrote in and said someone recommended this podcast on a first date. Well, guess what? The person who recommended it heard it, presumably because he listens to the podcast, and he wrote in. Hi, Gabe. I was wondering when somebody I recommended this podcast to would write in. I've been a longtime fan, but have never written in. It's long overdue for reasons that will become obvious. Voice memo attached. Sincerely, Keo.
Hello, Gabe. I hope you're having a fantastic day. My name is Keo. I am the friend slash partner of Frank, the person whose email you read recently on the most recent mailbag. I want you to know that that was pretty surreal, and I did not read the description for that episode before I listened to it, so it really hit me out of left field. So thank you for a wild ride. That said, the rabbit hole goes a little deeper. Part of the reason I have become a cheerleader and a little PR person for you in the background is because we actually know each other, Gabe. At least we did know each other, if you remember. Back in 2010-ish, we shared a couple of improv classes under Scott. I even remember trying to find some interviews for you for your interview project. I like to keep tabs on the people that I meet through my life and just kind of see how they're doing and support them when I can. And in 2018, I was in the midst of building a tiny house on wheels, and I had a lot of time to myself while I was building it. and I saw you had a podcast, and I promptly binged it and became a day of listener ever since. Not only have you given me amazing information to improve my life in a number of ways, you have also helped me embrace a lot of who I am. Since I've embraced my queerness, I have made a lot of queer friends, and I tell every single one of them about this podcast when money comes up. I also tell anybody else I meet when money comes up, but I really push it on the people in that community. I'm always happy to see when things are happening with you, and I absolutely love the podcast. Please keep it up. Feel free to reach out if you ever want to chat and catch up. Anyway, best of luck, and I hope this year brings balance. Cheers.
Oh my God. Okay, so you were going by a different first name, I think, but I'm not sure actually. But okay, so I just looked in my email, and last time we talked was 10 years ago, 2013. Holy shit. Hello. I totally remember you. Oh my God. Wow. Reach out again. Hello. That's amazing. Thank you so much. That's so unbelievable and so sweet. And yes, I looked in my email and I completely remember you. If you want to see the shock that just went across my face, you can subscribe at patreon.com/GabeSDunn, where we post videos of these mailbags. Yeah, I was taken aback. Wow. So that'll be fun for any of you guys. You want to see what I looked like while listening to that. Okay. I'm smiling so big right now. Okay. This is an email from Jamie. Hi, Gabe. I'm Jamie, longtime listener, first-time emailer. I've been a hiring manager a few times, so wanted to write in with a different perspective on assignments during the job search. The listener who wrote in is totally correct that there are unfortunately many companies that have taken these assignments to the extreme, asking for excessive amounts of unpaid time from applicants or quick turnarounds. Others will use work that is produced for profit without paying or hiring the applicant who produced it. However, when done right, I believe these can be an ethical and important part of the hiring process. As we all know, anyone can lie on a resume and say they have skills they don't. As a hiring manager, it's difficult to tell who is just saying they have experience in a software and are really excellent in working with others just from a resume. A test or assignment in the process gives applicants the opportunity to really show their skills and means hiring managers can feel more confident that they are hiring someone who will actually do well in the job. I'll give you an example of a hiring assignment I participated in and why it felt ethical and useful. I was presented with a fictional potential client who had a question about a product. I was given enough information about the product so I didn't have to spend time researching it and tasked to write an email back to the client answering their question. It took me maybe an hour and they gave me a few days to complete it. And because this was a fake situation, it was unlikely they could have actually used my work for their own profit. However, this was very similar to the work I would do in the job, so I was able to gain a better understanding of what the work would entail, which helped me understand whether I wanted to proceed in the hiring process. I was also able to demonstrate my writing skills, my ability to explain complex info, and my ability to empathize with clients, all things that would be difficult to demonstrate in a resume or interview. I hope this gives a bit of insight into why hiring managers might ask for work. Like I said, not ethical under every circumstance, but if a hiring manager is not asking too much of your time or work and you're interested in the role, I think they're generally worth doing. Thanks, Jamie. Wow, another perspective. Please write in what you think of Jamie or what you think of everybody who has written in about this topic. It was a hot button issue for you guys. I think my partner would say a similar thing, but I don't want to quote him, but maybe we'll have him explain or I'll ask him if next time I can read what he wrote in the Discord. Hey guys, Gabe Dunn here. I just wanted to let you guys know that I have a Patreon at patreon.com/GabeSDunn. And on that Patreon, I'm going to start doing live hangs with everyone who is a patron. So if you want to join the Patreon, you can get all these episodes ad-free, videos of our mailbag episodes, extra writing from me, blogs, fiction, other stuff, things that I'm thinking about with regards to money and personal stories, and also now live hangs with me on Zoom once a month. So join the Patreon. And if you're not a member of the Discord, hop on over to the Discord. That's free. The link will be in the description. It's so fun. So many of you guys talk over there. It's like truly popping off. And if you're on the Discord, I would love to see you in the live hang so I get to put a face to a name. So yeah, please join patreon.com/GabeSDunn and come hang out with me. I love to track progress. As you guys know from listening to this show, I'm constantly tracking my progress. What have we done so far in 2024? And spring is in full bloom. Are your finances blooming too? With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, it's easy to start building credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments with no annual fees or interest. And if your credit scores grow, so could your opportunities for lower rates on loans like for a car or a home. You can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. That's right, you can build your credit using your own money. Get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. With a qualifying direct deposit, you can get access to your money sooner. Fee-free overdraft with SpotMe. Overdraft up to $200 without fees with SpotMe when you set up a qualified direct deposit. Just set up a qualifying direct deposit, sign up for SpotMe, and Chime will spot you up to your limit when you make a credit card purchase or cash withdrawal that exceeds your balance. Access 60,000 plus fee-free ATMs. That's more than the top three national banks combined. Easily find one near you with the Chime app. Send and receive money. Use Chime to pay anyone, Chime members or not, and cash out your money fee-free. With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started at chime.com/badmoney. That's chime.com/badmoney. Chime feels like progress. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A., members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, this is an email from Lavinia. Hi, Gabe. I just listened to the mailbag episode where you mentioned tech interviews and the take-home assignments are extremely common. Usually it's a problem they've made up, not something they're working on, and all interviewees get the same problem. Often they'll use the same problem for many years, so they aren't as scammy as they sound, but it is quite a time investment. The typical software engineer interview process goes something like this. 1. 15 to 30 minute phone call with a recruiter or hiring manager. 2. Either an hour-long remote technical interview where you write code in front of people over video, or a take-home assignment that could take a few days. Usually, they'll ask you to spend at most 5 hours on it. 3. If you did a take-home, sometimes there is an additional technical interview to discuss the take-home or talk about a high-level systems design problem. 4. 30 to 60-minute non-technical interview. 5. The on-site, often done remotely now due to COVID, where you spend 5 to 8 hours doing various interviews with different people. This is where the whiteboarding interviews happen. Usually there are multiple technical interviews, a culture interview, and a manager interview on this day. Sometimes they do have you write real code with one of their devs on this day, but that's less common, especially now with most things being over video. If it takes place at the office, they feed you lunch. 6. Offer? Sometimes different companies will use nearly identical technical challenges, though. So if you're lucky, you can occasionally reuse something you wrote in multiple interviews. Love the show, Lavinia. Okay, that sounds nuts. Am I the only one that sounds nuts to? When I was interviewing for jobs, which were writing jobs, I guess they could see my writing. I could lie and say I wrote this thing, but they would be able to read what I wrote, like published, and know if they wanted to hire me. But at the same time, I guess an editor could have completely fixed what I wrote, and maybe they wouldn't have any idea of how much I had to work with editors. What really stuck out to me about this was the culture interview, which, what does that mean? Where they see if you fit into the company culture? That sounds a lot like directors being like, I just want to work with people like me. And then it's just some white guy in a baseball cap. What's a culture interview? I don't like it. Okay. This is something that I was reading about on Reddit that is called the $1 trillion coin. If anyone's heard about this, please write in about it because I was really fascinated and I went down a rabbit hole. So there's something called the $1 trillion coin. And then this person answered it. Ace King Offsuit answered, by law, the U.S. is only allowed to borrow so much money to fund the government. Once the limit is reached, the government can no longer effectively pay for some things, including our debts. This is the debt ceiling. Congress has to agree to raise the ceiling before the government can borrow more money. Congress has yet always raised the ceiling before it has been reached, but there's always the chance that Congress cannot come to an agreement. The trillion-dollar coin is an idea based on the fact that the government can print more money. If implemented, the government would print a single coin or bill valued at some massive amount and then use that to pay off some of the government's debts. Due to inflationary and other concerns, there's a lot of debate about whether this can or should be done. And then ANSYS07 wrote, to be more specific, it's based on a loophole in federal law. Congress granted the Mint the right to produce commemorative coinage of any denomination they saw fit, but only out of platinum. The idea was to give the Mint the ability to create those commemorative coins people love to collect without Congress having to reauthorize it time and time again. All other notes and coins have limits, both in denomination and amount, but these platinum commemorative coins do not. Okay, so then I went down a rabbit hole where I was like, I'm sorry, a commemorative coin made out of platinum that they can just say is worth $1 trillion, they print one, and then they're used to pay off all the debts? $1 trillion coin? Money is so fucking made up. Like, money's made up. If you can print $1 trillion coin, print a bunch of them and give them to everyone. Rain them down on everybody in little bundles from drones. That's wild. If you know more about the $1 trillion coin, I would love to hear about it because this is my first time hearing about this. And I, like, everything is made up. All of our systems are made up. Money is made up. Isn't that nuts? I just couldn't stop reading about it. And it makes me so sad and mad. Oh my God. And then people can just vote to raise the debt ceiling or not. And then the government can pay it off with again, the words $1 trillion coin. Anyway, okay, I'm going to read two new Apple reviews. One is 5 stars from Your Mom Called. Always a good laugh. I always learn something from Gabe and have a good laugh. Hey, thanks. And then this is from a barista, 5 stars. Guess who's back? Gabe is back. Back again. So excited for the new season. Hey, thank you so much, guys. If you want to leave an Apple review, you can leave it for us. Please leave 5-star review. It doesn't have to be long. You can even just write like, this show is hot or whatever. You can follow me at Gabe S. Dunn or at BWM Pod on Instagram. You can also join the Discord, which the link will be in the description below. And you can become a patron at patreon.com/Gabe S. Dunn. Shout out to our brand new patrons, Laurel and Sam. Thank you so much for being a patron. I will shout you out. You can also watch videos of all of our mailbags on Patreon. Again, patreon.com/Gabe S. Dunn. Thank you, everyone, for writing in. You can leave a voice memo also if you want to at gabeisbadwithmoney@gmail.com. I will see you guys next week on Tuesday for a brand new episode. Have a great Friday. Bad with Money with Gabe Shane Dunn is a production of Noted Bisexual, produced by Melissa D. Montz and Diamond M. Print Productions, edited by Diane King, post-production sound by Coco Lorenz, and music by Mike Kaplan, Zach Sherwin, and Jack Dolgen, as sung by Sam Barbera. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.